Hey everybody, welcome to L10 Sessions. Today I have Miss Andrea Webb with me. You heard from her husband in my first session. That was really good. And I mentioned in the first session with him that these two have been really important to me in a lot of different ways. But I didn't realize, and I know I already said this, but just to reiterate in case you haven't listened, Keith and Andrea really discipled me for I don't know how many years now.
About 10, 11 years.
They've been here for 10 years, I guess, at the church. We're going to start off, and I'm just going to have Andrea tell you who she is, about her family and her life, and just tell us what you do, who you are, and about your kids, because that's an important part of your life.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this. I appreciate it. Well, Andrea Webb, I am a biologist, a wildlife biologist for Texas Parks and Wildlife. So I work a lot outdoors and doing some fun things like deer spotlight counts, gobbler counts. I work with private landowners, and my county's a responsibility. So I have a really fun and cool job, I think, of course. I went to school.
I think it's really cool.
Yeah. I went to school at SFA. That's where Keith and I met many, many moons ago. We've been married for almost 19 years now, so it's been a while, but it's been a great 19 years. And he is my sounding board. He is my rock. I can't say enough great things about him. So I'm really blessed to have him in my life and the fact that God crossed our path so many years ago. We have three beautiful kids. I have a 15-year-old that's a freshman in college. I mean, a freshman in college. Gosh, I'm already...
She's 15. She's really smart.
Yeah, I'm already speeding that up.
She's really smart. She's in college at 15.
Autumn's she actually is taking a college course, but no, we're not quite there yet, but I feel like we're going to be. No, freshman in high school. She is involved in a lot of different areas, sports and academia, and she's really got a heart that's on fire for God. I can't say enough great things about her. I'm really proud of her.
The one word to describe Autumn would be sweet.
Yeah.
Just like that's kind of a blanket word for Autumn to me. It's just sweet.
A gentle soul.
Yep. She's, very gentle.
Yes.
Old soul too.
She really is.
She is.
And so, I'm really proud of Autumn. I'm really proud of my other two, too. We've got twins. They're 12 years old. As different personalities as you can expect. It's funny because when you have two kids the same age, you never know, how their personalities are going to develop and what they're going to be in life and where their interests are going to be. But, they keep us on our toes. They're middle school now, in sixth grade, involved in a lot of different activities and sports and stuff. And they're fun. They're definitely fun. I don't know how to describe.
Well, God knew that He had to give you Autumn before He gave you the other two. That's
absolutely
for sure.
Absolutely. It would have been totally different to have twins first, for sure. And I keep telling myself, especially the first year, Keith and I were kind of in survival mode that first year with them. And it was just like we kept telling ourselves, God only gives us what He knows we can handle, even though we didn't think we could handle it. And still, we don't think sometimes we're so limited. We know that God gives us only what we can handle.
So. Oh, for sure. And they're good kids, and y'all do an awesome job raising them. So I want to just kind of get it started and kind of jump in. We know that this podcast is kind of based on, it is based on Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan. And Keith and I talked about, I think we mainly talked about compassion. And so we are going to touch on that. But what I wanted to ask you first was, why do you think that people, the guys who passed by, why do you think that people get so distracted and they just ignore, not even that they ignore, but they just don't, we just tend to not see people who are in the ditch. And that's a figure of speech, obviously. People aren't most of the time,
right?
Literally
in the ditch.
Yeah, but yes. A figure of speech. But people who are having a hard time, or are in need of of what we have, because, you know, as well as I do, we have something that people who are in the ditch don't have,
right?
And a relationship with God. So, you know, why do you think we get that way? Why do you think people get that way?
Get there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of times, and we, especially myself, we grew up, I grew up in the church, but I never was really taught about having a relationship with Jesus and with going that next level, right? It was very, we go to church on Sunday, we check the box. It was just, that was our routine and habit, right? So as I got older, and more experiences that I went through in life, I realized that I was missing something. And when I started realizing what I was really missing, it was that relationship. And there are experiences and things we all go through in life, and we have these points in our life where we may experience something where we had woundings in our life and we've been so guarded, and our heart has just not been vulnerable and open to things. And when we realize that and have some self-awareness moments, mm-hmm. To really jump on those times and to say, you know, and question that and go from point A to point B and start really grabbing a hold of that relationship and delving into that relationship. And by that, we also go into a period of self-awareness and a period of how can I improve in my life? How can I get there? There's a lot of people that, because of one reason or another, haven't gotten that connection with other believers or with other people. And so they get stuck in that place where they cannot or have not really been open or had that connection and had that light shed on them.
Because, well, you think it's safe to say that the reason, though, that that happens is because people don't have a real connection to God. It's kind of what you're saying. No relationship with Jesus kind of, you know, you have a relationship with religion mm-hmm. rather than Jesus, and that kind of short circuits what the Good Samaritan, the story is about.
Right.
Because you're not vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable with Jesus first.
Right.
And I mean, is that kind of what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
No, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
You know, and you think about how many times in your life you just pass by that person and you have something to offer them. You have something to connect with them. And for, you know, all of our modern day reasoning, community, technology, all the distractions mm-hmm. that this world puts on us and gives us.
Yeah.
The distractions are not from the Father.
Right.
You know, they're to keep us from connecting with that person in the ditch. They're to keep us from connecting with other believers. You know, I guess the thing to look for is balance always.
Yeah.
And everything that we do, we try to find balance, and we're not perfect at it, but that's
never will be.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we strive for, because you just, it's so important to have that balance in your life.
Yeah. To kind of move on a little bit, a different kind of direction somewhat. I'll ask it like this. In the world we live in, and this is kind of a loaded question, I apologize, but I think you can handle it. We live in a world right now, especially, where sin's really justified. And I think that, you know, and the reason I bring this up is because my belief is that it keeps us from being able to really impact the kingdom of God, because we justify things that shouldn't be justified.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I want to ask you is, how do you think that we can make sure that we don't cross that line
mm-hmm.
of between knowing what sin is and justifying sin? Because I think this is something that the next generation, if we don't get a hold of it now, the generation behind us, and we're going to talk about your kids in a minute, but just parenting in general. But, you know, why do we get, you know, being merciful and justifying sin mixed up? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like being merciful is a good thing.
Right.
But what's the difference between being merciful and justifying sin in our own life or other people's life, whatever that may look like. What do you think?
Right.
What do you say to that?
Well, you know, I look back at several illustrations in the Bible, and I think about what Jesus did when he was his time here on earth, right? So when he came across different situations, what did he do? Did he look at that person first, or did he look at their sin?
Yeah.
He always looked at the person first.
Yeah.
And he taught those people around that certain situation to look at that person rather than trying to justify and look at their sin, right?
Yeah.
You talk about the woman that was caught in the midst of adultery. He was not condoning
the behavior
at all. He was not judging her, though, or condemning her.
Yeah.
He was calling out that those that were judging her and ready to stone her, have you not sinned yourself?
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so he always put the person first. And I think that's so important to remember now, because society accepts certain sins
more than others.
More than others.
Yeah.
Puts kind of a grade level or a scale on sin. There's so many things out there that, because it's not socially acceptable, people will call it out or banish them from the church, even coming to church, even being in the presence of their, religious organization, right?
It doesn't mean that you, just to interject, it doesn't mean that you can't say, that's sin.
Absolutely.
Like, and it's not saying you justify and say, well, it all sin's equal. But understanding that we all have places in our life and we all are in need of the blood of Jesus.
Absolutely.
Does that mean we have to go, an example I like to use, which is kind of like a middle ground example, is an alcoholic's not going to get on the stage drunk and lead worship or preach a sermon. Why? Because they're an alcoholic and they're drunk.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's kind of some obvious. And so you have to be protective of truth.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, having compassion for the lost, because that's what they are. They're lost.
Right.
And that to me, and that's Keith and I talked about that, mm-hmm. Just understanding that people are lost. And in the world we live in today, it's going to just get worse and worse and worse.
Right.
It's going to get worse. I mean, I was talking to somebody yesterday about a bill that they're trying to pass. Where, the freedoms of the church are going to be gone
mm-hmm.
if they pass that bill. What the protection we have. So all the more reason to go, we're not justifying the sin. We need you to get saved.
Right.
And one point I wanted to make and kind of see what you thought about this is how much more powerful is it to do it outside of the church? You actually are going to have way more of a chance to impact a believer outside, outside of the church.
Right.
As you are inside of it.
Right.
So there's an important element to that. Like with your job, I'm sure you could kind of speak on that. Your interactions with non-believers or people who have fallen, whatever it may be, their situation may be. Do you tend to come across people like that a lot or no?
So it's funny because I do work with private landowners and lessees. And so I do come across and work with the public with my job. Being a state employee, there's just, I have to be careful about certain things, but there's always time when you come across folks or just in conversation or in passing that, and it's outside the church walls, that you are talking and connecting with someone and sharing, something really good with them. So there's always the opportunity, whether, it is with my job or just outside in different activities or doing different things. So, and I think that's a very important aspect, to be always open and aware that your interactions, you never know how you may touch or affect someone or communicate with them, what's inside of you at that point.
Because it's in there,
It's in there. And it may not even come out verbally. We have spiritual connections where we connect with people that we don't even say anything verbally, but it's just a spiritual connection that we have with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just, it's something that I always try to be aware of, that it may be, that you just never know.
You never know
how you're going to touch and affect someone.
Yep, and you, you know, like we said earlier, the people aren't very rarely actually in the ditch. Maybe during the snowstorm, there was a lot of people in the ditch in their cars, but people are very rarely in the ditch physically. But mm-hmm. you can, but emotionally they are, and being very open and vulnerable to that, and paying attention to people is a big thing. You know.
Yes.
Kind of keep it rolling. We're gonna bring in some parenting things because I kind of wanted you to speak to parents who are raising kids in this world.
Yeah.
It is unlike, it was not like how I was raised. The world has changed so much in my 25 years. So we use the word compassion when describing the Good Samaritan. As a mom of three, what are some ways that you feel like that you can raise your kids to be full of compassion and the love of God? What is practical things?
So we are always talking to our kiddos about being present with people and realizing that they have an impact on kids their age, their peers.
Yep.
And they have something that they can always share and always be a light there. There's always opportunities. And one of the things that we talk about when it comes to compassion and being merciful, there's always those kids that are, you know, you've got the kid that's rude or says something mean or does something mean, you know, to your kiddo. And the first thing you want to do is protect them and run to their, you know, to their aid. But I have found, and Keith and I have talked and prayed and gone to a place where with our kiddos that we want to be able to instill in them that they have the opportunity in those moments, because again, we don't know where people are coming from, right? We don't know where those kids, what kind of home life those kids are coming from. So always be aware that those kiddos may be being mean to you right now just because they're being, you know, a certain home life. They may be being, you know, abused or whatever at home. You never know. And so showing them, not being a doormat, but being compassionate to those kiddos and letting some things just, go. Don't have to react to every single situation. Just how to handle those kind of things as a kid.
That's
you know?
Big, yeah.
And because, I mean, our woundings, they can start early, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and so kiddos, even it's hard to think about it, but kiddos our age are experiencing things right now that are going to live with them for the rest of their life. They're experiencing life right now that's, you know, really tough, and they're going to have to work through those things as they get older. And so I want my kiddos to be able to not add to that.
Don't add
to the pain. Mm-hmm. I want you to be compassionate, and I want you to understand that they're having a rough time right now. And if you can add support, if you can, you know, add some light to that situation, that may be the only light that they see, because mm-hmm. they may not be coming to church and may not have any kind of connection with people that are sharing that light with them in their life. And so we want you guys to be that for them.
Yeah, little Christians. They're young baby Christians that are learning. And I think, and I don't have kids, and so I try not to give parenting advice because I don't have kids. But just observing, having been worked at a church, been a youth pastor for a while, I think parents underestimate their kids sometimes, because your kids, I've watched kids get saved, a teenager get saved, you know, even a little kid get saved, and it changed their whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of underestimate that God can use them. And you kind of almost hold them back in a sense because they're just kids, right? But God has, even as little kids, God has big plans for them. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that you and Keith do well is, you know, allowing your kids to be who they are, who God created them to be, teaching them holiness, teaching them that the things they need to know. Yeah. But then also, kind of, in a sense, you have to give them responsibility.
Yeah.
And by doing that, by teaching your kids that, you're telling them, even now, you know, at what, 12? They're both
12.
12 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
Your actions, your words, and your responses matter.
Yeah.
Even right now, even though that you don't feel like anybody's listening to you, they matter. And And I just think parents, that's part of the reason I wanted to have you on, is because I think that parents need that encouragement, you know, that they can do that, and that their kids do have a calling on their life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being the Good Samaritan, and I'll say this to the day I die, I'll believe it, being the Good Samaritan is that the picture of that, walking in love, is the most important thing that you can teach your kids or that you can learn yourself.
Absolutely.
Is walking in love and being a compassionate person, because Jesus was that. That's the only difference between Jesus and the religious people, or that Jesus was full of love and compassion, and they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, man, I think this was good.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
It's always a learning experience. Parenting has, we learn something new every day.
Yeah.
And we realize so quickly that every day we are losing, and we're losing more and more time with them. I've got a freshman now that will be going off to college, and so trying to equip her with as much as we can, because that's our job as parents, right, is to equip our children and
as best you can.
Best you can, prepare them, get them ready for the real world when, you know, they go off on their own and experience life, and then also to be open to where God's calling them in their life, because a lot of times we have these pressures to do these certain things, but
that aren't God,
that aren't His calling, and we try to encourage our kids, be open, be still enough to listen and hear His voice and where He's calling you in life, because it will matter, and mm-hmm. it does matter. And I promise, if you try to make your own decisions, your own choices against His will, you know, it's not going to, you're not going to be happy and fulfilled. You're not going to have a fulfilled life.
You're going to end up in a bind.
Yeah. And so that's really the biggest take-home message I have for, you know, parents, is just let them, remind them how to be still, to go to God in prayer, to ask Him for, you know, His will to be done, and to answer His calling He has on each and every one of our kiddos in life.
Oh, that's really good. Well, guys, that's all we have. We're not going to talk too long, bore you. But I think this has been really good, and thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Because every person that I sit down with and is different, and that is a picture of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That every person you sit down and you have a conversation with, you can talk about the same exact thing, but it looks so different to every person.
Yeah.
So that's the goal of this whole thing. So thanks for coming, and I'm going to have both of you on at one time, and that may be like a two-hour episode.
Better, Keith, yeah, you may hear him.
Better hang on. Maybe a long episode. So thanks. I love y'all.
And
we'll do this again.
Sounds good. Thank you.